Hello everyone and welcome to JFG. Tonight we will be reviewing the news, doing some war updates and looking at the Meta response, who have they're trying to explain why it's now allowed to call for violence but only in certain situations, the situations they prefer. Of course, Facebook has chosen that there was a side of violence that they were appreciating, and of course they enact their censorship rules with double standards, as we knew they would, and as they've been doing forever. On my side, I have left YouTube. Officially, I have voluntarily left the YouTube Partner Program, demonetizing myself. I have been impressed by the progress on Odyssey, and it is now more viable for me to continue my career on Odyssey with the freedom of speech that comes with it, especially as YouTube is cracking down on Russia appreciators. Subscribe to my channel on Odyssey and install the app on your phone. That is what I had to do because I felt that it was coming anyway and I didn't want to be demonetized in their algorithm. So I decided to self-demonetize. So at this point, the show truly relies only on your contributions, Super Chats, Patreon, Subscribestar, Crypto. It's the only way I want to keep surviving. And perhaps one day there will be ads revenue coming to Odyssey. But for now, we'll have to survive on these means only. But it's been good. It's been good to be able to speak freely here. And I realize, you know, after talking about identity in 2017 and being pursued by YouTube, talking about COVID last year and being pursued by YouTube, and now talking about Russia, I realized that anyways, any subject that I choose to talk about will always be the next censorship subject for YouTube, so there is no way for surviving there long term. Liquid says, Susan Wojcunt can go fuck herself. Well, that is well said, sir. And thankfully, here on Odyssey, we can piss on YouTube freely. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? Philosoraptor says, hooray for that. He sends a LBC super chat. Thank you so much. Join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to support the show. The survey tonight is, how have you been enjoying Odyssey? Have you liked the platform? Have you had buffering problems? Great, some improvements needed, lots of improvements needed. Or do you hate it? We'll see if people are happy. Hopefully the people who have sticked with us are willing to go through the problems, if there are problems. So China apparently is dealing with some virus people. They always make these big shows like this doesn't stop pandemics. It's beautiful for the cameras and everything, but so they're dealing with fighting a new virus. China imposes a lockdown on 9 million residents in the northeastern industrial center of Changchun amid a new virus outbreak. Biden issues long-awaited U.S. executive order on crypto. Federal agencies will evaluate their approach in six key priorities within the digital asset sector. So that's Biden telling all of its federal agencies to coordinate and write some reports about crypto, but there's nothing in there that's clear. So it's not like a new law on crypto has been enacted. It's going to be a bunch of bureaucrats trying to coordinate in reports about how exactly they want to fuck up our lives. So for now, it's not worrying, but it will come the day where the federal government goes after the crypto people. But hopefully that day, there will be new cryptos and we'll develop whatever crypto is needed to so that the government stays away from it. And if it has to be a 100% private crypto, that's what it will be. Jussie Smollett sentenced to jail time. Yesterday I was complaining because someone was sending me a link and it wasn't clear that he was saying that he's not suicidal. But here I have the video now, so we can establish that yes, truly, Jussie Smollett has been saying I'm not suicidal before he's sent to jail.
Oh.
Suicidal.
Okay.
I am not suicidal. I am innocent, and I am not suicidal. And I am not suicidal. And if anything happens to me when I go in there, I did not do it to myself. And you must all know that.
This is a guy who's planning to kill himself. Don't do it, Jussie. We need you alive. We need you to go through the suffering of living a full life, understanding that you have been caught. That is part of the punishment. This guy is so narcissistic that he thinks it may be a matter of public information. It's a public matter, and it concerns everyone to think that he may be killed. You won't be killed, Jussie Smollett, because although you failed in your little hoax, you tried to do a hoax to serve the people who kill people in jail. You're on the right side for this, Jussie. It's like Hillary Clinton will not go at you, Jussie. You've been committing to the right side of the political spectrum. And there is no reason why Hillary Clinton would want to kill you except your incompetence. Because although you've been serving the right side, the side of BLM, the side of anti-lynching bills written by the Democrats, you've been incompetent at serving that side. But they don't kill for incompetence. They kill for insubordination, and you have not committed that. On the side of Ukraine, the Russian forces are slowly installing their web around cities of Ukraine. There is no physical advance on territory, but there is good circling of Mariupol, excellent circling around Chernihiv, and Kiev is getting progressively encircled, although the Ukrainians are celebrating pushbacks that they do when the forces advance. Generally, the Russian army is successful at cutting off some cities, and in fact, Mykolaiv, they are advancing. In Melitopol, they have succeeded at kidnapping the mayor. Ukrainian Foreign Ministry calls abduction of Melitopol mayor a war crime. So that's the state of advancement. The strangling of the Ukrainian cities is being successful. Chronic Boom says, haha, Jussie is prepping for his next hoax, offing himself and framing someone for his own murder, lol. Yeah, that's exactly what I expect. I mean, this guy is narcissistic enough to say, I want some of that Jeff Epstein action. I want to be a potential martyr of my cause, and I want people for decades to talk about how Jussie Smollett has been killed by the system because they didn't take good care of him. So yes, I would definitely put this guy on suicide watch, special with cameras and everything. Bennett advises Zelensky to surrender to Russia. Zelensky refuses. Listen, on this one, it's a very special moment, but I'm going to side with the president of Israel here. Is he called the president? Whatever. Prime Minister. Prime Minister of Israel, I agree with you on this one. He was very reasonable in saying, Zelensky, you have to stop the fight. This fight will escalate as much as needed to ensure your defeat. So all you're doing really is you are making the humanitarian cost of this war higher for your people. There is no way you're going to win, Zelensky. So stop the fight, withdraw from Kiev, leave it to Russia, and start making deals. And in fact, if you don't let the fight escalate so much around Kiev, like I don't know if that would work today, but certainly many days ago, Zelensky had the option to just say, we accept the Russian conditions. They were asking for Crimea, DPR, LPR, and there you go. You got your Ukraine basically unaffected. But he was too stubborn. He didn't want to concede any territory. And this stubbornness is costing lives and costing human suffering. Ariel Suarez says, kind of the opposite. They permanently turn you off if you show the possibility of being too competent against them. Exactly. The Democrats love incompetence. They love people who have no future and all they can do is serve their cause. And so I don't expect them to try to kill Jussie Smollett. But Jussie Smollett, being a narcissist that he is, might very well try to kill himself. Assessed control of terrain in Ukraine. Main Russian maneuver axis as of March 11th. So Kiev continues to be surrounded. There is some progression on the east. This is getting secured by the Russian side. Mariupol completely circled. The southern border almost all dominated except Odessa. And we have seen today lots of bombardments of airports in the west. So there were airports that had been left unaffected by Russia, but missiles are now being sent in the western portion of Ukraine to control their air capacities. And so those are the progresses for today. More civilians than soldiers have been killed by Russia's war on Ukraine, according to Kiev's defense minister. I want this to be heard not only in Kiev, but all over the world. Well, what you want to be heard all over the world is how stupid you are. Because you guys are the one who made civilians soldiers. So how do I know if your count includes civilians that had weapons from the army that you gave them on camera? You bragged about it. This is what happens when you turn your civilians into armed forces. They're going to be targeted as soldiers because that's what you made them. You made them into soldiers and so they get shot. There is a take on Zero Hedge, although it's a premium article, so I can't access it and I don't want to subscribe to it. Wall Street stunned by Zoltan Pozsar. Latest prediction of what comes next. It's very interesting because I've just read the summary. And he says we are entering a totally new economy in which currency will not be currency anymore. And we are entering in an economy centered around resources. And this is what the play is on the side of Russia and China. It's like the true store of value will be energy and commodities and material, and currencies will really occupy a secondary role in terms of storing value. They will mostly be transactional. So it's very interesting because this is a new view that I hadn't considered, but basically you have Bitcoin pulling on the storage of value of the USD. And then you'll have the Russian war and the Russia-China kind of alliance that will pull on the energy being an alternative to currency. Energy becomes the new currency. And there will be nothing left for the USD except just transactional functionality, basically paying your bills and that's it. Quite interesting as a perspective. Meta. The new name for Facebook is crashing down, 6% lost in the last 5 days, 20% lost on the stock market in the last month. And they are getting in trouble with this weird policy that says, oh yeah, you know, calls for violence may be okay in the Ukraine situation, except only if it's against Russians. Russia demands US stop Meta for inciting hatred against citizens. The Russian embassy accused Meta of aggressive and criminal behavior and declaring an information war. The Russian government is demanding that the US stop Meta, Facebook, and Instagram parent company for allegedly allowing extremist activities on its platforms. On Friday, the Russian embassy accused Meta of aggressive and criminal behavior after the company lifted a ban on users who called for violence against Russia, a drastic change to its hate speech policy. So at this point, Facebook is engaged in determination of truth, because to say that Ukraine is the victim of an aggression, that's deciding to take a side. That's making an affirmation about the state of this war. Because who are you to decide that it wasn't DPR and LPR, the independent republics of the southeast of Ukraine, which, as documented by Oliver Stone, have been bombarded by the Ukrainian army? So why didn't they get special Facebook treatment? Why wasn't it possible for Oliver Stone's documentary and the people of these republics to call for violence against the Ukrainians? No, Facebook has decided this is not a genocide, but the invasion of Ukraine is an invasion of Ukraine and kind of a genocide, if you will. And therefore, they are justified in violence against the invader. But who's the invader here? Wasn't it Ukraine invading the independent republics that wanted their independence, that had voted for this independence to be obtained? That's the dirty thing you enter in when you start deciding who can speak and what can they say. You start necessarily being involved in a war, in a struggle for existence, and you take a side in that war. Dead Star says, JF seems not to understand the concept of a citizen patriot. Millions of Ukrainian men are prepared to pick up a rifle and fight to the death, whether Zelensky hands them a rifle or not. Do you even know of Bandera, JF? You are talking about Stefan Bandera. Was that his name, Stefan? Yes, I know about him. My perspective, an agitator agent in the neo-Nazi groups, spreading from Germany to Ukraine, I believe, and acting in a way that he was defined as heroic by the Ukrainian neo-Nazis of modern times. That would be my summary. Now, what you say about citizen patriots taking arms to defend their lands, that is their choice, and I respect it. I'm not saying this doesn't exist, but don't come and complain to me that citizens are dying. Citizens are dying. But when these people want to say civilians are dying, this is different than citizens, by the way. They're saying civilians. So when you say civilians are dying, what you mean to imply is the other side of the army on the other side is not fair. They are violating humanitarian rights. They are violating like agreements that are made on war where civilians shouldn't be targeted. But if these civilians, so-called civilians, are citizen patriots, as you describe them, then they're part of the war. I don't wish any harm to them, and you can take a stand and sacrifice your life for defending your nation. It makes total sense to do this sometimes, and I respect the right of the Ukrainians to do it. But don't you come and complain to me and use the false language of defining yourself as a civilian if you then die. Because if you then die, I will consider that you died as a soldier of Ukraine. I don't care. Chronic Boom says, I don't think at that stage it was provocation. He was a genuine Nazi. Oh, well, I suggest you watch... did you watch Ukraine on Fire by Oliver Stone? Because they're kind of suggesting that he was at least playing the game of international networks, benefiting from his activities, and perhaps even controlling them. Guy from V says, Benderites aren't neo-Nazis. They're just plain Nazis. Yeah, well, I won't make this distinction. To me, a neo-Nazi is just someone in the modern time who would be still a Nazi. So, yes. By the way, I watched the other segment of the Oliver Stone documentary. Now it's getting banned from YouTube. I tried finding it on YouTube. They made it disappear from the search results, and some people are trying to re-upload it, but I ended up finding it on Rumble. It's called Revealing Ukraine. And that is, again, a very good documentary. You should watch Ukraine on Fire, and you should watch Revealing Ukraine, because it properly describes the state of the society in Ukraine. So corrupt, I mean, it's layers of corruption above corruption above corruption. And it's, we shouldn't be surprised that YouTube is interested at hiding this documentary at this moment, right now. Now, it's absolute nonsense, because it's a documentary that has been made not to justify the current war. The current war wasn't even started, so it's not made with the hindsight of, oh, how can we convince people that the war is just? But it's made to explain what Ukraine is and what the politicians that are pro-Russians in Ukraine, how much they have to go through in this world. And it explains why Ukraine is in this situation. And it turns out it's a whole war for resources, for control, for determining the economy, the local economy there, both in terms of passing fuel. And it's all done at the expense of the local population. They were describing that Ukrainians want energy sovereignty, so they don't want to buy oil from Russia. So Russia passes oil through them, drops it in European nations, and European nations resell it to Ukraine. And apparently they were saying there was a rise in the price of gas there by some ridiculous amount, something like 1,000% or 10,000%. It didn't make sense. And that's what they describe as the price of sovereignty. Lendalt Guntram says they want oil from Russia for free. Yeah, apparently there was a deal where they were buying oil, but eventually they got pissed of the price. But it's like, if you can't pay the price of the market, there's going to be other buyers and you're not going to have oil anymore. I mean, yeah, it's very fascinating. Go on Rumble and make sure you watch Revealing Ukraine by Oliver Stone. He's a director that I've been respecting a lot, because I like Natural Born Killers. I think it's a beautiful movie. About, it's like, it's a critique of media, and it's all sorts of things all together, but it's a case of a psychopath who goes on a murder spree with his kind of partner or wife, and they just kill people, and they do crazy stuff, and they become celebrities, and there's even an interview. I think it's a great movie, very well done. So let's have a look at the Meta response to justify their intervention in the Ukraine conflict. There has been a lot of coverage and discussion of how we are applying our policies to speech in the context of Putin's invasion of Ukraine. I want to be crystal clear. Our policies are focused on protecting people's rights to speech as an expression of self-defense in reaction to a military invasion of their country. The fact is, if we applied our standard content policies without any adjustments, we would now be removing content from ordinary Ukrainians expressing their resistance and fury at the invading military forces, which would rightly be viewed as unacceptable. This is fascinating, because not so long ago, all of these companies, including Facebook, started making it impossible for white people in Western nations to report crimes that were happening to them and their families and their co-ethnics when it was caused by other identifiable characteristics. So, for example, on a lot of these platforms, you wouldn't be able to say, oh my God, this person got killed by a black man, or this person got killed by an illegal immigrant. So how, and the whole thinking was, well, this will favor hate against the whole of a category, and we don't want the whole of a category of human beings to be judged for the actions of the individuals. But how can you conclude then that the violence happening right now in Ukraine is because the soldiers were Russians? Like, why judge all Russian soldiers based on the actions of a few? Why be racist? Why allow racism against Russians and saying let's combat the Russian invaders? Are all Russians invaders? No. And so I know it's hard, but you have to make the exact parallel between our situation as white people in North America and the situation of a Ukrainian faced with the Russian invasion. And you have to ask yourself, how is Facebook reacting to both invasions? How is Facebook allowing Ukrainians to complain against an invasion, and how you wouldn't be available, you wouldn't be able to complain against other types of invasions happening to North America? This shows ultimately that Meta is adopting an institutionally Russophobic position where you can only complain against the invasions of the Russians, not the invasions of the immigration policies allowing the entry of people in North America, not the invasion of your neighborhood by high criminality populations. I mean, we would have to look into the numbers, but I wouldn't be surprised that if you make the counts down the line, if you remove the military deaths and you count only the true civilians' death, not civilians that were resisting with arms, but actual, like, collateral damage civilians, I wouldn't be surprised that ultimately factors like diversity in North America caused more murders, more theft, more rapes than the Russian invasion down the line, like over 10 years. And yet Facebook allows you to complain about only one type of invasion, the Russian invasion. To be clear, we are only going to apply this policy in Ukraine itself. We have no quarrel with the Russian people. There is no change at all in our policies on hate speech as far as the Russian people are concerned. Okay, so you're saying that the Russians who are currently immigrating into Ukraine, you're saying that they're not Russian people. So you are dehumanizing them on top of it. You're saying, yeah, those are not the right Russians. They are really bad Russians. We will not tolerate Russophobia or any kind of discrimination, harassment, or violence towards Russians on our platform. Well, you've allowed it, so you've just defined it away. You just made it so that Russophobia wouldn't be called Russophobia on your platform. And you've shown to everyone in the future that Facebook can be swayed. So they're going to want you to side with them, the leftists, the people of the future. Whenever they have an activism-related cause, they will need you and require you to side with them until your rules don't mean anything anymore. They will be applied as they wish. Philosoraptor sends a super chat. He says, have you heard of a work called Mathematical Challenges to the Neo-Darwinian Interpretation of Evolution? it makes the argument that DNA is so complex to a degree that a beneficial mutation is mathematically impossible, thus perhaps suggesting that an intelligent design is at play. I have reviewed these arguments again and again, and they are bad. A beneficial mutation can be readily observed in populations of bacteria that develop resistance to a specific antibiotic, no problem. So it's all bullshit. It's all a smokescreen of mathematics to make you believe that something serious has been stated when it's not. It's as easy as realizing that there are 7 billion people on planet Earth, or 6, I don't know where the count is, but 7 billion people on planet Earth, each of them maintaining the population by making babies every 20 years. So every 20 years, it's like 6 billion other people, 7 billion other people. And each of these generations, each of these acts of reproduction will lead to a transmission of about 64 mutations. So make 64 mutations per person, per generation, times 6-7 billion people, times every 20 years, and you'll realize that, yes, there's plenty of space here not to just explore a very rare set of special mutations, but to basically explore the entire space of all possible mutations. Very quick, in a matter of millions of years, you will have shuffled the entire human genome up and down. You will have tried all paths from it. So these people who try to impress you with, first, they are extremely fetishist because they will take the state of a protein as it is right now. They will take the ribosome and they will say, 10,000 amino acids all aligned perfectly. And the problem is, you don't know how many other ribosomes would have been possible. Definitely the ribosomes of fish is a little bit different than yours, and it works. The ribosome of lizards is a little different from yours, and it works. So first you have to realize this alignment of 10,000 amino acids is not the only possible ribosome. It's not even the ribosome that all of your human ancestors always had, because there were probably other ribosomes in humanity. There were other ribosomes in the chimpanzees that led to your existence, and there were different ribosomes in the monkeys that led to these chimpanzees, etc., etc. So the first fallacy that they do is to think that you have to absolutely obtain the current ribosome of humans. You don't. You have to obtain one of the 10 trillion possible ribosomes that would work, as opposed to the 100 trillion ribosomes that wouldn't work. The game here is a little less edged than they think. It's a little more easy than they think. And then you multiply, you make my calculation, 64 mutations every 20 years, every time the whole human population renews itself, for every act of reproduction, in 6-7 billion people, and you'll see it's totally reachable. Not just Wuhan. Document shows US military was funding bio research on coronavirus and insectivorous bats in Ukraine. As the Gateway Pundit reported last night, Russia called to convene the United Nations Security Council this morning to present evidence of military biological activities by the United States. Look, reviewing these documents, it's clear to me that there was some funding of some dangerous research happening in Ukraine. Fact checkers are trying to debunk this and say, There was no evidence that the US was directly involved in the funding of specifically biological weapon. It's like, okay, well, maybe not, but you guys were funding dangerous research, the kind of research dangerous enough that it may have already caused a pandemic from China. So whether, one moment. So whether you were intentionally designing biological weapons, I can leave this on the side, but you were definitely funding the exact kind of research that would collect viruses, handle them, study their ecology in bats. Like, maybe you don't know that you're a danger to Russia, but maybe you're a danger to Russia. Can we settle on this, fact checkers? Can we agree on this one? Coach Red Pill was publishing all of the PDFs that they've deleted from the US government. Look, this looks like you guys were funding labs. These labs had permit for working with pathogens. Now, when you have a permit for working with pathogen, it's because there's a potential danger to hosting the pathogens that you're hosting. You've obtained these permits. You have celebrated the transfer of these properties. So because the US was funding the building of labs, and then they were handing it to the Ukraine government. Another one in Dnipropetrovsk. The permit for working with pathogens was issued by Regime Commission on February 15, 2012. Another document deleted from the US government website. Transfer of custody is in process, so a laboratory of veterinary medicine in Luhansk. Permit for working with pathogens will be obtained after signing TOC and MOU. So the fact checkers are focusing on the only thing that they can say there's no evidence of, which is they were not developing biological weapon. Okay, but you were developing stuff that could lead to a biological accident. A guy from Vise says, I love how everyone is accusing CRP of being a communist. Are they? Why? Because he's siding with Russia, but Russia isn't communist, right? Magpie sends a super chat. Thank you so much for supporting the show. Is Magpie a guy or a girl? She says, or he says, do you think there will be a fourth season of The Servant of the People? This website says it's currently in production. And will Zelensky win an Emmy? They could give him Cuomo's Emmy since it was stripped from him after leaving office. Oh yeah, okay, so Magpie is a guy. Let's see what your Servant of the People. So fandom opening. There is currently no text. Servant of the People. Well, it looks like someone may have just created. Oh, it's the link was broken in your super chat. Let's try. It seems that the link is broken. I don't know if they will make another series. This series was designed to socially engineer the Ukrainian people into voting for Zelensky. By the way, I've reviewed footage of Zelensky as he was getting elected. This guy had a major promise. It was to stop the war against DPR and LPR. So he was elected in a way, in a very pro-Russian stance. Not pro-Russian, him being pro-Russian, but in a sense, he was a moderate on the Ukrainian side. And his promise to the Ukrainian people was that he would end the bombardment of DPR and LPR separatist regions. And it didn't end. So he broke his promise against the Ukrainian people, which is just another good reason to invade this country. Here are all the latest news and developments from the Ukraine war. Russian President Vladimir Putin says there are certain positive shift in talks with Ukraine. Okay, so perhaps we may be headed toward a resolution without the full siege of Kiev, without the complete overtake of Ukraine. To be honest, at this point, so much effort and so much money has been invested, it would be kind of disappointing if this was to resolve without a change of regime on Kiev. But perhaps it's an option that Vladimir Putin will take. Perhaps he will see the cost of keeping the war going, and he may not be certain that he would win, and perhaps he's going to decide to accept concessions. But at this point, it's so advanced in the war. It seems that so much resource, and also the sanctions, you know, I suspect that the sanctions would continue even if a resolution was adopted between the two countries. So at some point, you have to consider your sunk cost. If Putin accepts an agreement, he would have given the West the opportunity to punish him economically, and they will continue punishing him. You have to consider this in your decision if you want to stop the war. Real Sprocket was sending me a geographic analysis of a drone. So there was a drone that was put down by the Russian forces, and they claimed... So Ukraine denies that the drone that crashed in the Croatian capital was launched by them, but they are the only known operator of this type, and if we consider the 1,000-kilometer range given in Wikipedia, Russia controls no territory within that range. So there's a disagreement, there's a claim that it could be a Ukraine drone, and Ukraine say, no, that wasn't our drone. Who cares? I've tried researching the subject and I couldn't find a satisfactory answer. So some drone has been put down. India accidentally fired a missile into Pakistan due to technical malfunction. That is hilarious. I mean, they sent a missile to Pakistan and it crashed in a field. It hurt no one. But at the brink of war that we are, and the fact that there's lots of stress all around the planet, it's not the right moment to make that kind of accident. Apparently, they lost control of the missile. There was a malfunction and it just... I guess I would be nervous if I'm on the radar mission of Pakistan and I'm seeing this big missile coming and I'm like, oh my god, that's it. War is starting here also. All right, let's have a look at the war footage of today. This is images of destruction of residential centers.
Это, конечно, пиздец. И, сука, не прекращают бомбить.
So lots of big buildings continue to be struck by missiles. This is Russian forces firing toward a Ukrainian position to see the type of weaponry that they use here. Let's have a look again. So that's the angle, seeing the gun itself, and then we'll see the result of sending this big artillery or whatever it's called. It's quite a big rocket that must fit in there. And so that's the other video showing where it's headed. You'll see it right here. You'll see it's advancing toward the Ukrainian position. And exploding. So that is happening on both sides, this kind of anti-tank, anti-vehicle attacks. A Russian vehicle for transportation has been shot and abandoned. So there it is with the tires totally flat. There's going to be so much pollution to deal with after this war. There's going to be destroyed vehicles throughout the streets. Oh yeah, there was also the Texas Supreme Court. The Texas Supreme Court just foreclosed any possibility of continuing a fight in federal court. I think I lost the news item. Somehow it didn't refresh properly on my browser. But basically, the Supreme Court of the United States will not be intervening in the whole abortion, you know, bounty hunter type of abortion is illegal bill, illegal after a couple of weeks in Texas. So that settles the question. The leftists were trying to get this heard by the Supreme Court, of course. The Supreme Court has shut them down and has said this is going to be a question to be resolved by the Texas Supreme Court. So it's over for them. The Texas Supreme Court will allow this law to keep going. So Texas essentially becomes a place where abortion will be extremely rare. Georgian volunteer posts a video from the front line near Kiev. So there's lots of other countries joining. This seems to be a Georgian soldier taking the side of Ukraine. And there has been talk in the last few days about Syria, a contingent of Syrian soldiers, potentially from 10,000 to 16,000 soldiers, who would join the Russian side and would enter Ukraine, since so many foreign forces are sending individuals in that basically don't come to represent their nation, but they come to join Ukraine. It's logical that there will also be reinforcement from other countries from Russia. But this is a Georgian volunteer.
Dinarea, technical advocate, be out petrit, Marazato artillery mushops, misted out, truly orchestriara, Tilid and Dides repent Aroche overtura, Hatismis, Mere Pre Rarochevena, Telit Rita Rame. Etian Bibiera.
All right, so. This guy is chilling in his position and hearing the missiles come in, and he seemed to be satisfied by the work of his artillery. We're not getting paid. The Kiev businesses are trying to reopen. Well, good luck. You know, of course, you're not getting paid. You're in a siege city, basically. Not fully siege, but sieged enough that there won't be a flourishing business life. Those remaining in Ukraine, the Ukrainian capital, attempt to adjust to traumatic new normal as Russian forces close in. Oh my god, did they just say the new normal again? 16 days after Russia invaded Ukraine, life in the capital is far from ordinary. Kiev is a city under siege. Half of its inhabitants have left. Russian tanks and armored vehicles are edging ever closer from the north and west, with some units just 9 miles away. Firestarter says, what the fuck, not getting paid is the least of your problems if you're in Kiev. Exactly. It's like, oh my god, I'm opening my little cafe shop. I want to have a good ambience. I want people to feel great. I want to make sure that I'm getting paid for the coffee I'm selling, but bro, you're going to get bombarded. Please understand. You should be in a bunker. You should be fleeing. You should be preparing for an airstrike on your entire city. What else do we have in the war footage? EU, US announce further actions against Russia as attacks in Ukraine continue. A package of sanctions to wean EU off Russian fuel sources By 2027, US President Joe Biden also announced plans to revoke Russia's most favored nation trade status, and he will ban Russian goods like seafood, vodka, and diamonds. I don't think it's particularly important, these most favored nation status, but because they're not sanctions that will keep business from happening, but it removes the kind of automatic assumption that this is a proper nation to deal with and all of the advantages associated with it in Europe. We have very blurry video of a tank in Mariupol. So you can see tanks extending pretty much into Mariupol, but this one gets shot by a missile, apparently from a drone or an airstrike. Interesting. Stone Dust Bear says, Jeff, I live in Zitomir and I can't even order KFC. Yeah, that was my impression that you were... I knew Stone Dust Bear. I was kind of associating this name with that you were either Russian or maybe Ukrainian. Or so, yeah, I'm happy to hear about you and hear that you're still doing fine. And he says, I can't even order KFC. I hope you understand the magnitude of this humanitarian catastrophe and adjust the angle of your reporting. Listen, I'm sorry if you can't order KFC, Stone Dust Bear. I'm really sorry about this. But you have to understand that Ukraine and what it has done has been worse than war to a certain extent to me. And they have done war in the passive-aggressive manner. They have done war through corruption, and they have done war against their own people. So don't necessarily look at my coverage and think, oh, this is pro-war. Jeff is pro-war, and the alternative to JF's view is to be anti-war, and, oh, everyone loves themselves. No, it's that if you want to be an adult and understand the consequences, what happens on this planet when there is no war, and understand that there is a form of violence hidden in the progression of the Western Empire, in the progression of the American Empire. If you want to understand that what Americans have done with Ukraine is so disgusting in terms of turning it into a totally desert of corruption and of just people fucking each other up over and over again. That to me, and we're not even talking about the oppression of the people of DPR. Like, okay, you could order KFC 2 weeks ago. Do you think that people in DPR were able to have a leisurable life the way you had 2 weeks ago? No, because they were constantly under shelling from the Ukrainian army. And they weren't allowed to get the sovereignty that they had been promised, that they had been promised as part of the Minsk agreement. So I don't know if you're trolling. Maybe you're not trolling. But I think that this KFC reference makes me seriously doubt whether you're trolling. Because are you seriously arguing with me that this is your humanitarian impact, that you can't have KFC? I think you may be joking. In which case, I appreciate your joke. It's quite funny. But if you're not joking, let me tell you that I will not change my angle of coverage. I think that Ukraine is unable to care for itself, and it will be much better for the people of Ukraine to be in an actual, serious, non-corrupt nation. And too bad that the only option we have is Russia, which itself is, to some extent, a nation of some level of poverty and some level of corruption, but nothing compared to Ukraine. Stone Dust Bear says, Jeff, yes, close the sky, airdrop fast food, stand with Ukraine. Okay, Stone Dust Bear is trolling. I think he's trolling because that's just way too many flags of pro-Ukrainian cheerleading on Twitter. Stephen Robinson says, breaking NASA emergency as Russia threatens to abandon astronaut and crash the ISS into US. Russia has put NASA on red alert after threatening to abandon an American astronaut stuck on the space station. Is that real? The express.co.uk. NASA emergency as Russia threatens to abandon astronaut and crash the ISS into the US. Russia has put NASA on red alert after threatening to abandon an American astronaut stuck on the International Space Station and warned it could crash the station into the US in response to harsh sanctions. That is, I don't know if that's real. I wanna read a little more of what you just sent me. But that sounds like the funniest news item I've had in a long time. Heard of the Russian space agency, head of the Russian space agency, Dmitry Rogozin, sent a terrifying warning that Russia may abandon Mark Vandehei, the U.S. astronaut aboard the ISS. Mr. Vandehei was set to return to Earth aboard a Russian spacecraft in 3 weeks' time. Mr. Rogozin posted a threatening video on social media, casting doubt over the astronaut's safety. He also warned that without the help from Russia to move the ISS away from space junk, the station would crash into the U.S. Former U.S. astronaut Scott Kelly has reacted furiously to the threat. Are we reading a joke article? I mean, express.co.uk, that seems like a serious outlet, right? Isn't it? Or I'm looking at the URL to make sure this is not a scam or whatever. He told ABC News, I never thought I would hear anything so outrageous. Well, maybe you shouldn't fuck with your allies. It's like, you guys have a common project, the US and Russia. You have this whole space station, space stuff going on. Why would you sanction them that hard? He said, I think it is just a crazy threat. It is not really based on reality. We do have the ability to control the orbit of the space station independent of the Russian space agency, so I don't really see that happening. The ISS is currently split into two sections. There is the Russian orbital segment controlled by Russia and the United States orbital segment operated by the US. Well... That is quite funny. You know, who knows? Who knows? There may be an error and it may end up in a crash. Just the tension between the two teams might be enough to perhaps lead to non-optimal communication. Who knows what will happen? I'm laughing my ass off at this news item. Tillman says, Jeff, what about the poor man that can't get a Big Mac? Well, I was left unmoved by the KFC complaint. But if someone on Earth cannot have a Big Mac, that is, you just fucked with the wrong dude. Stone Dust Bear says, Jeff, do you think Trump's Space Force was an early attempt to combat situations like this? You know, Trump's Space Force was an attempt at Trump to leave an imprint onto the world and to leave an imprint that says, okay, this was... the realization by the great president Donald Trump. Space force is important. I mean, satellite imagery is extremely important, and satellite communication is also important in war. I think that Russia doesn't have much of it, doesn't have enough of it in this war in terms of communication capabilities. Why don't you have private digital channels? Why don't you have a Starlink equivalent? They should have that kind of stuff. And they should have constant satellite imagery. So for the US, it's good to have this. It's good to be able to have this superiority of information on what's happening on the ground. That being said, the ultimate space force would be to have nuclear missiles just hanging out on top of the Earth, all around it, to be ready to drop a missile from space at any point in time, to any place. This probably will not happen because of all the treaties around non-nuclear proliferation in space. But that would be the thing to have when you think about it. You should have a couple of hundred megatons of bombs just rotating all around the Earth so that at any moment you can drop as quickly as possible onto any nation. A Tokta-U missile that fell apart midair and landed somewhere in Ukraine. Big missile, my God. I can't believe these things. They are enormous. I've seen also a Ukraine team just disarm these things. They literally come with some water and they manually, it's the big bomb, and they're at the tip of it, and they slowly, with water, they're de-rusting and rolling out the little detector at the tip of the bomb, which is supposed to be the detector that collides and triggers the bomb. They're going very slowly, and they're I wouldn't do this. What did we have? More footage of residential buildings being targeted by missile here in Mariupol today. The side of a residential building falling. This is a view on the streets of Kharkov. Absolute destruction. The cars are destroyed. The buildings are destroyed. Look at this. This entire building completely destroyed. So the tip of the rocket is called the detonator, says Stephen Robinson. Very interesting. We have learned that YouTube today has decided to block all Russian state funded media channels globally. Russia to ban Instagram also. So on the side of Russia, it's blocking Instagram from its internet. On the side of YouTube, they are blocking things like Raptly and Russia Today, that kind of stuff. So basically, YouTube cracking down on Russian state ability to express themselves. You'll never see this, by the way, in America. You'll never see YouTube ban American outlets because they were warmongering for America in the Iraq time, the Afghan time, the Syrian, the Libyan time. Basically, the American system is a warmongering machine. And YouTube will never do anything about it. But when Russia does the same thing, they get targeted. A rare catch, a Maxar satellite photo catches Russian artillery firing from space. Very impressive. So the satellite just took the picture at the right time. And you see an explosion and you see the lines of firings that have been happening. Yeah, Nicholas Petris says, blocking Cringestagram, freaking based. Yeah, I mean, Instagram is like so limited in terms of expression. Like, all you can be on Instagram is an Instagram star. All you can be is, like, show your boobs, but not show them for real. I don't think it's a place for expression anyway. ironing of Russian forces to the positions of the Azov battalion in Mariupol. So apparently this would be an aerial view from a Russian aircraft, I believe. And they seem to be shooting missiles. It's hard to see because it's kind of blurry, but they are selecting their position. And you can see there's some kind of centering software or something. And they can select the target. And you can see smoke coming out because missiles have arrived. And then he moves to other targets. You can see a smoke starting from this target right here. Quite impressive. It seems that you can fixate this target on an object, and as you continue to move, the target remains locked in. Very impressive video processing. As a programmer, I would have loved to participate to the programming of these camera tracking, the movements and all. Rocket shelling on the suburbs of the city, hitting mostly residential buildings and private facilities. Well, we can't know from the video that this was targeted at residential facilities, so we don't know. Mama JF says, did you know the she says, oh my god, KFC is so disgusting. Seriously, just thinking about it makes me want to throw up. Did you know the sauce is made with all the bits at the bottom of the fryer when they change the oil? Mmm, gross. Mama JF having a typical female reaction to, you know, the making of food. Sometimes you have to scrape the bottom. Sometimes the taste is all there. And I believe that the Colonel Sanders, in his good care, has understood something when he understood that you have to scrape the bottom to get all of the taste of the chicken into the sauce. Hello, Mama JF, what's up?
Okay, KFC is the only place okay, you eat after you need to sleep for half an hour.
Oh yeah, you do?
Yes, you don't see that.
You always sleep after we eat.
No, but this even more. Like,
even more?
It's like this, it's like, I don't know what they put in there, it's like so much, I don't know, it makes you like fall. Your brain, and you feel your brain melting like, It's weird.
KFC has special effects, but I mean, I can eat KFC. I have my passes, you know. At some points in my life, I can go 2-3 times to KFC in a row, and then I will suddenly stop for years. Like, it's been more than, I think it's been now more than 6 months that I've eaten KFC. I don't have much opportunities anymore to do it. It's not super interesting. It's kind of bizarre. It's very specific. You have to want KFC to go to KFC. Justette says, you need to sleep because of the sodium overload, Mama JF. Ah, that I didn't know. Is it the sodium overload that is leading people to sleep? Because Mama JF puts a lot of salt on her stuff. So maybe that's why she keeps going to sleep after eating. Put less salt, Mama JF, if you'd like to stay awake. Facebook defends allowing calls for Russian deaths. Okay, this I've already covered. It was on our thumbnail. what else do we have? We will be headed toward our conclusion. The UN warns Ukraine that war could spark 20% surge in global food prices. Yes, this I'm expecting it. Because not only do you have the war for fertilizer, the fact that Russia will be increasingly interested at hopping the price of fertilizer and potentially just restricting its export as a whole. But Ukraine is a huge producer of food for the EU. 52 million tons. Russia and Ukraine account for a quarter of global grains trade. Look at this. Mama JF, you know, has been asking for Rice Krispies for a whole year now. And whenever I come back from the grocery store, I'm like, there were no Rice Krispies, Mama JF. But now at this point, Mamajev, there will be no cereal for the next 5 years, I think. Because it's going to be priced out of the market. It's massive what's happening. I can't wait to see the full result of this. Justed says, cut back on sodium because it leads to high blood pressure, JF. Buy a blood pressure slash cuff machine to check it regularly. I have wonderful cardiac monitoring stuff. I bought this. I want to show it to you. It's really wonderful. It's a 6-point lead EKG. It gives you the full professional medical recording of your heart. I bought this because I wanted to monitor my heart, make sure that everything is okay. And it's been good. And it's connectable to your Android phone. What's the name of this? Let me give you the name, because I think I'm very satisfied. I would totally recommend it. It's called the Cardia Mobile 6L. The only FDA-approved self-use EKG. So now, if I want to check that my heart is good, the way it connects is you have two connectors where you touch with your fingers, and the connector at the bottom, you put it on your knee or your ankle. And so the machine has basically 6 electrical points on your body, and it gives a very good recording. I'm an electrophysiologist myself, so I've been recording the heart of animals. And, you know, this compared to a professional thing that you stick on people's chest, it's just as good. It's been giving beautiful, beautiful traces, and my rhythm is normal right now, and they can detect all sorts of things like tachycardia, that sort of stuff. No, it doesn't give blood pressure, but for blood pressure, you can have the classical thing that goes on the arm, or you can go to the pharmacy. Very often they will have this. How much is this gadget? I think it's something like $300 that I paid, but Canadian, so maybe $200, maybe a little less USD. It's quite a price, but, you know, I'm thinking about long-term survival, health, and also I'm thinking about nuclear safety and being isolated potentially from civilization for years. So I'm thinking I want everything to be able to prepare for many different situations in which I wouldn't be able to go to the hospital or whatever. So that is it for today. I've been buying a couple of gadgets recently, and I'm very happy about them. The Cardia Mobile, super happy. I've been buying a Geiger counter, which has not arrived yet. And I've been buying the CO2 and radon monitor, the Air Things. And that I'm very happy, very happy. Just that says tachycardia equals fast heart rate, bradycardia equals slow heart rate. Pacemakers correct these conditions. Yeah, exactly. So you want to be below 100 BPM. And I'm below 100 BPM, so everything is doing good. Dead Star says, do you have a basement to hide from fallout? Well, I do have a kind of space in the basement, but also I'm building. I'm planning to build an extension with a fuller basement that will be much better for fallout protection. So that is it for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Steven Robinson says, JF, play this crypto game and get paid to walk. Nah. Steven Robinson, you have to stop coming to me with these scams and these, JF, you can become rich by doing this or that. No, the minute you tell me, JF, you can make money while... No, it's like, no, the only thing I make money as is for thinking. I want to get paid for thinking. The rest, I'm going to leave it to other people. I'm not going to go do whatever this website wants me to do to get paid. How have you been enjoying Odyssey? Two people have answered great. One person says some improvement needed. One person says lots of improvements needed. And one person says I hate it. Well, thankfully, Odyssey keeps improving. I mean, it's been improving every month. There has been major changes on the platform, and it's getting better all the time. So that is it. Mama JF says, JF, you know another great gadget? A dishwasher. Lol, I'm just joking. Of course you're joking, because as DK Shadow points out, isn't Mama JF the dishwasher? Thank you.